This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. Our message for this session is taken, was first published back in the month of May of the year 2004. And it's being put on audio in the month of February of the year 2025. And our subject scripture is found in the book of Revelations, chapter number 7 and verse number 14. And when you have the scripture available, you will find these words recorded. It says, "And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." The title for this message is The Flunky. Now picture this, if you will. The scene is in heaven around the throne of God. We see John, the author of Revelations. Actually, God is the author. John is the one who wrote what God told him to write. And he's being questioned by one of the 24 elders. If we go to verse right above this in Revelation chapter 7, verse number 13, it says, "And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these that are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" John had seen a multitude of individuals, which no man could number, standing around the throne. If you go to Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, it says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. The elder, we don't know who he is, makes a statement, which is the subject verse, that seems not to be all that important at first glance, but is really profound. And it is that point that I want to expound on. If you will notice the statement, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You will notice the second part says they have made their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. What is the significance of this? It is this. Unlike what may be the common belief of a lot of Christians, that Jesus washes their robes for them and makes them white, their robes are made white by something that they themselves did. If we will look at the title of this message, the definition of a flunky is someone whose sole purpose is to do things for a person or group that that person or group considers too dirty, nasty, or just plain insignificant for them to do. Case in point, I am sure you have been to a parade where you have animals participating. You may have noticed the animals walking along the parade route, and following them you would see men pushing a cart or a barrel with a broom and shovel. Their job is to clean up any droppings that the animals produce while in the parade. The animals are going along and are totally oblivious to the mess that they are making. To them, it's just a natural function to relieve themselves whenever they need to. They don't care about the mess. They have no will to or means to clean up after themselves. If the mess is to be cleaned up, then someone will have to do it. Those men with the cart are, in a slight sense, representatives of flunkies to the animals. Of course, they get paid for what they do. Maybe you can better relate to this. You have clothes, a house, a car, and other things that over time get dirty. Well, what do you do? You wash them to make them clean again. If you don't have the time to do it, but you have money, you pay someone else to do it, right? Well, what if you could get someone to not only do it, but to do it without pay? and even without your even having to ask them to do it. Even though you have the time and ability to do it yourself or the money to pay them, then, my friend, you have a flunky. Now, I said all of that to say this. Many of us talking about Christians tend to, and I know it is hard to swallow, treat God as if he is our flunky. How, you might ask? By committing sin and not repenting of it. Many Christians take the view that because they are saved, that no matter what wrong they do, Jesus will automatically run behind them and wash their messes clean without them even acknowledging that they have even made a mess. And if they will acknowledge it, it is usually with a flippant attitude like, so what? The elder told John that these people that were praising God were in robes of white that they had made white by washing them in the blood of the Lamb, and not that Jesus had done it for them. As I look around in this city and the nation, I see many of my brothers and sisters in Christ acting as if they have a 24-hour, 7 days a week flunky named Jesus. They will go out and involve themselves in things that God says for them not to do. And when trouble comes along, instead of repentance coming out of their mouths, they ask God to make things better and put it under the blood. Well, what they are actually asking is tantamount to asking God to forget about what they have done and just clean up the mess. Now, while God is merciful and his grace extends far beyond what we can even believe, he is not stupid. If someone slaps you upside your head and then asks you to forget about it, how would you act? Not too favorably toward that person, I would dare say. Yet that is the same thing these Christians are asking God to do. Look at these verses for a minute. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse number 14 says, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." And then Luke chapter 24 verse number 47 says, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." What do they tell you? What they tell me, and there are plenty more that say the same thing, and that is that we have to, number one, acknowledge our sin, and two, repent, and then there is remission of the sin. If you will remember, when you got saved, you had to first admit that you were a sinner, then ask God's forgiveness, and then turn from your wicked ways. Today admitting we have sinned or are even committing sin is totally overlooked and turning from it then becomes a matter of empty words. How can you turn away from something if you don't even acknowledge that there is something that you need to turn away from? Look, God is willing to do all that it takes to clean us up and put us on the right track. And He has done that. But there are prerequisites that must be met for Him to go any further after that. This nation is in a mess. It is in a mess not so much because of sinners as it is because of unrepentant Christians. And what too many of our responses are to these problems are to pray to God to straighten out the mess without our admitting to our faults and repenting. But not to dwell so much on the problems in this nation, I want to focus on the individual Christian. God said in Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 28, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." That means that sin causes stains, and there is a way to remove the stain. That way is through the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Now, the idea of the multitude standing before the throne with white robes that have been washed in the blood identifies with the scripture found in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 13. Starting at verse number 13, it says, "Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless." Many of us today are talking about how we want the Lord to come back and take us from this mess. And while that may seem to be a good thing, we need to consider one thing, and that is, are we really ready to meet Him? Christ is coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. In other words, He is coming for the righteous. The multitude of those mentioned in the subject verse are the righteous, and those are the ones that have come out of great tribulation. Notice, I don't believe that it is talking about the great tribulation period, but out of great tribulation or persecution. But in either case, they remained righteous by washing their sins away when it was necessary through repentance. Adversity was nothing more to them than something that, if anything, gave them the opportunity to win another crown. Many saints today don't want to face persecution of any sort, and therefore seek to blend in with the world so as not to call attention to themselves, while at the same time trying to hold on to that blessed hope of being raptured out of here when the time comes. This is a call for all of us to examine ourselves daily, hourly, or even every minute to see if we need to get some stain off of our robes. When I write many of these messages, or am preaching one, a lot of times I have to examine my own life and repent along with others of you. That's the good thing I like about God. He still uses vessels that are not perfect to deliver His message of how to be perfect. Just like the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 verses 12 through 14. He says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if I may apprehend, that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." This Christian walk is a battle, and we have all of the resources we need to come through it unscathed. But we can only do that if we use them. If you have an umbrella and you go out in the rain without using it, then you will get wet. If a police officer has a gun and faces a criminal who has a knife and he doesn't use it, talking about the police officer using the gun, he is liable to get hurt or worse. Therefore, God has given you what you need to achieve righteousness and maintain it. But if you don't use it, guess what? You lose it. How about making a fresh start right now? I mean, going to the cleaner right now. Just pray this prayer from the heart, meaning every word. Lord Jesus, I come to you today asking you to forgive me for all of the wrong that I have done in the past that I have not repented of. I have taken your gift of salvation, your mercy and grace, and disregarded them. Cleanse me, Lord, right now. Make me fit to stand before you and the Father as a bride adorned for her husband, faultless and blameless. Help me to maintain righteousness in my life by keeping me aware of your power in my life and helping me to make decisions that will bring glory to the Father. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and were serious about it, then just as the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 verse number 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means as of this moment, you are righteous in his sight and your robe is once again white and spotless. And remember, it is up to you, not him, to keep it that way. Do you realize that the best witness you can give the world is living a life of righteousness before them? When you do, then God can bless you like he wants to, and people around you will want to know how you are able to keep getting blessed the way that you are. What better way to glorify God? Well, that is the end of our message for this session, and I hope that you have gotten the gist of what the message is about, and that is that we need to be about being vigilant of our own actions and, you know, the things that we do and say, and be cognizant of the fact that things that we do that do not line up with what God says we should be doing, and the type of life that he says that we should be living, and we involve ourselves in things that bring dishonor and glory, dishonor and basically are nothing that glorifies him, but in a sense glorifies the flesh, then that is something that we need to turn away from. And you know, it's not all that hard to do. Like I say, you can't make some people can, but you know, this is a minute by minute thing where we have to keep be vigilant all day, every day, minute by minute, hour by hour, when trouble and trials and tribulations come our way, you know, things that would cause us to want to detour away from the paths of righteousness that we are supposed to be walking on, that we need to repent and get back in line with what God says or what Christ says, and quit making or believing the fact that we don't really have to do anything, because now that we're saved, we're in the family of God, that God is just going to automatically come up behind us, or Christ is going to come behind us and clean up our messes, which we don't even acknowledge. That's not the way it works. We have to be about confessing. What did I just read? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have to confess it. That's what it's all about. Confessing it. And then asking him to help us stay away from it, to turn away from it, But you can't just take God for granted and treat him like one of those men that I said earlier that goes behind the animals in the parade. It just goes and cleans up the mess because that's his job to do. No, you trying to make God out a flunky, and he's not hardly your flunky. Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre closing out this message, and let me say to you and yours till we get together again for another message from the Word of God, good day.